As I come up to speak, I'm just reminded of that verse that Mavis just read out. If anyone speaks, let them do it as one speaking the very words of God. It's a weighty responsibility, isn't it? So we better pray. Heavenly Father, may my words truly come from you, and please, by your Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us. Use the Apostle Peter has said in here to build us up, to serve you. And we pray, Lord, you would help each of us learn what you want us to learn for the service of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last 3 weeks, we've been doing a little series on gifting and looking at spiritual gifts and other gifts. First of all, our associate minister, Renee, looked at Romans 12 and showed us that the gifts mentioned there are to be used with humility. And then Lauren looked at Ephesians 4 and explained how gifts build up the unity of the church. Now, that sermon wasn't preached in the morning congregation because on that Sunday we had our Going Bananas Sunday. Ooh, a little bit slow. But you can find Lauren's sermon online on our YouTube channel, St. Alfred's Online. And then last week, our guest preacher, Ken Fish, looked at spiritual gifts and the power of God from 1 Corinthians 12 in the morning and Exodus 33 and 34 in the evening. And again, if you missed those, they're available online. So over these past 3 weeks, we've thought about using gifts with humility, in unity, and in power. And today, the final of the series, my topic is spiritual gifts for service. And we're looking at this short reading from 1 Peter 4. And the key verse is really chapter 4, verse 10. So if you have a Bible open or a device open, just cast your eyes to verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And I'm going to unpack this key verse, and I'd like to note four things in it. First of all, note that Peter is addressing each of you. The letter was originally written to a bunch of churches that were made up of a whole stack of different people, and here he is addressing the individual believer in each of those churches. So he could quite easily be loosely translated as, listen up, each of you here this morning at St. Alfred's, I've got something to say to each of you. So please be aware that he's not speaking to a special class of gifted Christian. He's not speaking to ordained ministers, pastors, or leaders who have been set aside in any way. He's speaking to each and every Christian. So what he's about to say applies to every one of you. Each of you includes every one of you here today. So if you think this doesn't apply to you, please feel free to leave. I don't want to waste your time, and I'd rather you didn't waste my time. But if you do think this applies to each of you sitting here, just give me a nod of your head. Okay, I think you've bought into this, that the Apostle Peter is speaking to each of you. That wasn't too hard. Then he goes on to say, whatever gift you have received, so whatever gift you have received, each of you has received a gift or a gifting. The original word for gift here is the word that we might know as charisma. And in the Christian world, you don't have charisma. Well, you might in a certain sense, but you don't have it as such. You receive charisma, a gifting. And the derivation of this word is from charis, which in Greek means grace. So you have received a gift. And the connection of gift, charisma, with grace, charis, makes it abundantly clear who the giver of the gift is. And the giver is God. You've received your gifts or gifting from God, and they are a gift of grace. So gifting is not something to boast about, because whatever gift you have is a gift, something to thank God for. Now, normally when we receive a gift from somebody, we thank the somebody. If you receive a Christmas present, even if it's not quite what you wanted, you still say thank you. You receive a birthday present, you say thank you to the person who gave it to you. Let me give you an illustration from my experience as senior minister of the church. So 9 years ago, the wardens of the church of St. Alfred's gave me a gift. They said, Peter, we'd like to give you some time and we'd like to give you some money and we'd like you to go and use the time to have a sabbatical. You can go wherever you want in the world. All we ask is you do something that helps you and encourages you in your leadership. And they gave me about 12 months to think about that. So in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know, what should I do? And the wardens kept asking me, what are you going to do with what we've given you? Anyway, to cut a long story short, I ended up doing 2 weeks of a summer school at Regent College in Vancouver, taking some classes. One of those classes was on leadership, so that satisfied that requirement. And then I went on to England to meet with clergy of various churches, large churches, church plants. And so there was leadership issues that I was learning about there. But when I was at Regent College Vancouver, I was talking to another Anglican clergyman, and he said, how do you come to be here, Peter? And I told him this story about the wardens at my church giving me this money and giving me this time off and saying, just go wherever you like and do something. And he went all sort of wistful and he said, oh, I wish I had wardens as generous as that. So I thank the wardens for their generosity to me, but I also thank God for giving the wardens of this church generous hearts. That's a gift. And in gifting me, I think it helped gift the rest of the church. Now, each of you has received gifts from God, so the appropriate thing to do is to thank God for your gifting and to thank God for the gifts he's given to the other people in this church. To say, thank you, God, we have people with servant hearts. Thank you, God, we have people of prayer. We have wonderful musicians. Thank you, God, we have people who lead, people who care, people who fix things, etc., etc. Thank God for what he has given to each of you, and don't be jealous of what he's given to somebody else. Thank God that he's gifted somebody with something you don't have, because praise the Lord, in a church, we need all sorts of people, don't we? Now, who has received these gifts from God? Is it only a small minority, a limited subsection of our church? If you think it's that, feel free to leave, because I don't want to waste your time and I'd rather you didn't waste my time. If you think it's each of you has received these gifts from God, please nod your head. Okay, I think largely most people nodded their head there and the rest of you are asleep. Now, if nothing else, I hope I'm making the point that God has gifted every Christian and every believer here today. I hope I've made that point. He goes on to say that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Here's the outworking. You've been graciously gifted by God so that you can graciously serve other people. Your gifting is not just for you. It's for you to use in serving and blessing others. The word serve here is the word we get deacon from. It has a broad range of meanings, but it literally can mean to wait on tables, like a waiter in a restaurant. Hence, the deacons in the early church were responsible for organising food relief. You see that in Acts chapter 6. It can mean being like an attendant, someone who's there ready to help. But most often it is translated as serving or ministering. In other words, God has given to you so that you're able to serve others. And we know from Paul's metaphor of the church, that the church is like a body, that the church, the local church, this church, is stronger when everybody uses the gifts they have to serve one another. We are stronger. If it just relies on me, we will be weaker. If it just relies on the staff, we will be weaker. If it relies on everybody, then we're stronger. And I cannot imagine St. Alfred's functioning to the level that we do without the involvement of so many people. Just let me give you an example from 2 weeks ago. If you ever needed an example of how this works out, just look at our holiday program called Going Bananas. we're somewhere near, and this I think this is a reasonably restrained estimate, somewhere near 200 people would have been involved in serving in some way, using gifts as varied as cooking, dancing, administration, praying, acting, and even vacuuming the carpets. It was a tremendous team effort. Now, a further thought on serving others is that there is an implied humility in this. We use our gifts to help and serve others, not to draw attention to ourselves and not to get anything back. We are passing on God's grace to others. And this can be quite a challenge if we're involved in any upfront public ministry, because the spotlight can be quite alluring. The sense of public sort of affirmation has its own adrenaline factor in it. But please don't forget, it's God who's gifted you to serve others, and it's the others who matter. Keep your feet on the ground, and if that is hard, ask a few people to help keep your feet on the ground. Australians are particularly good at that anyway. But just remember that the point is to serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're to serve others like faithful stewards of God's grace. Now, the steward is someone who manages an estate for the boss or administers things on behalf of someone else. In this case, it's God. Think of the parable of the talents. God is like the owner who gives us talents and then goes away and comes back to see what we've done with them. It's that sort of idea. Or it reminds me of the Garden of Eden, where the original humans are given the role of stewarding creation. They're to oversee creation and care for it. And it underlines that the gifts God gives us are to be used in service for the benefit of others and even the benefit of the creation. God's grace, we're told, is infinitely varied and is freely bestowed on each of us. So in using our gifts to serve others, we are blessing others with God's grace. Now, the verse says God's grace comes in various forms, and this is a translation of a word that in its original meaning meant something like multicoloured. Think of a quilt which is made up of many different coloured pieces of cloth. Or if you were an artist, think of those huge boxes of Derwent pencils. Remember those that had five different types of reds and five different types of greens and all of that? Or think of an international airport full of people from all over the world milling around. Those are little metaphors of how varied God's grace is. God's grace is multifaceted and infinitely differentiated. And so if God's grace is this limitless, this varied, it just confirms that he's able to give you gifts. He's able to give the person sitting on your left and right gifts, because we're all different and no one has to fit a particular mold and no one misses out. God is so creative in the giving of his grace that he can gift each and every one of you, and each of you are then called to be a good steward of what God has given you. Two further thoughts on this. It is possible that two people might be gifted in a similar way, but they express their gifting differently. So, for example, someone might be gifted in prayer, and they express it in a certain way, and another person is gifted in prayer, but they express it in a different way. That is the multicoloured grace of God at work. Someone is gifted in hospitality, and they're able to do what this verse says, which is to show hospitality without grumbling. Someone else might be gifted in hospitality, and they might just have a little grumble occasionally, but they still have that gifting. There's the multifaceted, limitless grace of God at work. So you don't have to expect everybody to express their gift the same as you. It doesn't have to look the same. Secondly, further comment on this last bit of the verse, if you're not a good steward of the grace that God has given you, you might find the gifting that God has given you diminishes. He's given it to you to use. Think again of the parable of the talents. The aim is you use what God has given you. Stewarding the gifts of God does not mean being passive. Does not mean, oh, you just sit back and say, God's given me this wonderful heart for people, and then you never actually do anything for people. Now, if you are timid or you are uncertain, then what I suggest is you get in a growth group and you ask your brothers and sisters in Christ in your growth group to pray for you. And you take little steps. You just start where you can. Join in a ministry here at church or somewhere else. But you start using what you think God has given you and then find out if it is true. Do I have a gift of hospitality or prayer or music, or am I good with my hands and can help people? Am I good at administration? You've got to start somewhere, and that way you'll grow in your confidence that God has gifted you. Again, I'll give you an illustration of this from my own life, but I don't mean this as a model of something to follow. It's just something that came to me about how this worked out for me. Is when I was thinking about ordination many years ago. And you have to remember, I didn't want to be ordained. So that was my starting point. And I looked at what ministers do, and I realised that one of the regular things that ministers do is preach. And I thought, well, if you can't preach, there'd be no point being ordained. It would be terribly, terribly embarrassing for me to stand up in front of people and not be able to do what I'm supposed to do. And it would be very painful for them. And I remember a bit of wisdom that Haddon Robinson, who's a famous preacher, said in one of his books. He says, there will always be pain in preaching. The question is whether the pain is in your study or whether the pain is in the congregation. So his encouragement there was, do the hard work before you get up in front of the congregation. So I was pretty hesitant about this because I saw it as being such an important part of the job. And so what I thought I would do is I would enrol in a class in preaching at Ridley College, where I was studying, and see if I could do it. And bit by bit, I grew in confidence and people gave me some positive feedback and I got past those initial worries. Now, I'm not suggesting you do anything as formal as that, but you have to start using your gifts. Take a first step. Stewarding your gifts means using them, and that's how you will grow. And once you start doing that, you will start to experience joy because you'll see God using you, and you'll find that there's just an inherent pleasure, if you're gifted in an area, in exercising that gift. It just brings you joy to do that. Let me conclude. Now, Peter mentions some particular gifts or gifting in the verses surrounding verse 10. He talks about prayer in verse 7, love in verse 8, hospitality in verse 9, speaking in verse 11, and serving again in verse 11. Now, most commentators agree that the lists of gifts that you find in various parts of the New Testament, some of which we've looked at over the past few weeks, like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, these lists are not meant as exhaustive. Like, no one would say this list in 1 Peter 4 is exhaustive. These are illustrative, and there are many other gifts. And if the grace of God is as multicoloured as Peter says it is in verse 10, then there's no limit to the range of gifts that God can give us to use for his purposes. The thing to remember is that God has made you the person you are, gifted you in certain ways, and your job is to use what God has given you to serve others and bring glory to the Lord Jesus. Look at how Peter finishes this passage in verse 11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. So there's a little hymn of praise, what we call a doxology. In all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. It's almost like language out of Revelation, isn't it? So in the broadest sense, when each of you uses your gifts to serve others, you're participating in and a cause for praise to the risen Lord Jesus. You see that? And it's not too much to say then that when you're using your gifts in service for others, it's an act of worship. Just remember that it's an act of worship when you're next praying for someone, showing loving patience towards someone, offering hospitality, or speaking God's truth to someone. Those are the gifts used in the surrounding verses. But also remember this, that it's an act of worship as well when you might be packing away chairs at church, when you are mowing someone's grass because you're a member of Link, when you're teaching missionaries how to use their four-wheel drive, when you're singing songs at Forest Hill Community Space, when you're making a milkshake at Blackburn Drop-In, when you're teaching the Bible to your growth group, when you're serving on Red Frogs or leading a beach mission over the summer. It's all ultimately for the glory of God. So may God bless you as you use your gifts in service. May it bring great joy to you and be a blessing to those you serve. And may people praise the name of Jesus because of you. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. If in doubt, come and see me.